Our scripture reading comes from Revelation 19. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power to our God, for his judgments are true and just. He has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants." Once more, they said, "Hallelujah! The smoke goes up from her forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who is seated on the throne, saying, "Amen. Hallelujah." And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, all who fear him, small and great." Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. To her it has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints."
And the angel said to me, "Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are true words of God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your comrades who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Then I saw heaven opened, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name inscribed that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, wearing fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Back in chapter 17, John introduced us to a woman riding on a scarlet beast, a great monster with seven heads and ten horns. The woman was called Babylon the Great, corrupter of kings and nations, and she was drunk with the blood of the martyrs. This calls for a mind that has wisdom, John says, for the seven heads of the beast are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. Rome, the city founded literally atop seven hills. The woman is Rome, the eternal city riding on the beast of her empire. John's vision, his revelation, shows us realities beneath and beyond the realities our own eyes can see, shows us the true face of empire. The Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Peace. Order maintained by the sword and upheld by worshipers of the sword of power. Their heroes were the heroes of empire, soldiers and Caesars. They sing songs of great battle as if battles can be great. They proclaim a peace that is not peace. The empire sees itself in terms of beauty and civilization. But John sees the truth because he lives on the underside of empire. He and his friends know the price of that wealth, the price of the illusion, the price of Pax Romana. John himself is in exile, last of the disciples. The rest have fallen to the sword of empire with so many others alongside them. The empire that celebrates violence as entertainment. Christians in the Colosseum with lions and beasts. Emperor Nero's bonfires. John knows the price of empire. He understands the price of that prosperity, just as the displaced Native Americans and enslaved African Americans understand the truth about this nation's prosperity, as others in this country and around the world understand even now. There's a warning here, a revealing for us when we would cling to the illusion of empire's beauty, a warning when we are tempted by fear to embrace a peace that is not peace, a revealing in times when we find ourselves operating out of fear, cloaked in the name of freedom. There is a warning, a revealing, as John shows us the great beast that is the true face of empire. And then we hear a voice, a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah!" And as in a dream, we turn around to find ourselves back in the throne room from chapter 5. You remember it, the throne room in heaven where the lion was found worthy, the lion revealed to be the lamb. We're back in the throne room with the 24 elders and the four living creatures, and they are singing, "For the beast has been thrown down, her victims avenged." Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power unto the Lord our God. Hallelujah. This is the impossible, the end of empire. This is hope for those beyond hope, the unfortunates at the mercy of the beast on the underside of empire. A declaration of God's victory over empire in the midst of this world where it seems like the beast will reign forever. John falls to his face in wonder, in worship at the feet of the angel who proclaims this good news. But the angel says, "Stop, you mustn't. I'm just a servant like you and your brothers and sisters. Worship God, not me. The king is still to come." There's something for us in that warning too, I think. Because it's easy to get in that place without even realizing it, to worship the messenger instead of the king, to venerate the Bible more than the one to whom it testifies, maybe, to fall in love with the church, to fall in love with Stone Church even, and this beautiful community we have here. There's nothing wrong with that. The angel just reminds us that we don't worship the church as an end unto itself, not even this one, not its pastors, but rather the community of faith at its best connects us, points us toward the king. Then I saw heaven opened up, and there was a white horse. And its rider is called Faithful and True. And the hosts of heaven, wearing fine linen, white and pure, ride with him. Way back in chapter 5, John saw a doorway into heaven. You remember it. Just a door through which he passes and gets a glimpse of the throne room and of the king. A glimpse of the lion who is the lamb. Now heaven itself opens up. And Christ the King comes riding through. This is the first of seven scenes of the end here in Revelation. The last is over there. All things made new, the tree of life and the healing of the nations. But it begins here in chapter 19 with heaven opening up and the King riding forth. He is called Faithful and True. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He shall trample out the vineyards where the grapes of wrath are stored. An avenging king. He's taken the image of Caesar riding on a white horse with a crown. Caesar, who claims the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has taken the image of Caesar and co-opted it. Caesar is revealed to be a pretender. Here rides the true king. Now, I'm brethren, and I've got to admit, I get unsettled by this militaristic imagery. Maybe you do too. But then we remember the vision, the revealing of the mighty lion of the tribe of Judah, who is the slaughtered standing lamb. The king's robe here, we are told, is dipped in blood, but the blood is his own, shed for us. His sword is the sword of his mouth, not the hand. The word, his word, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. The word here, the word to rule, actually means to shepherd. The same word is used back in chapter 7, and the lamb shall be their shepherd. And the host of heaven rides with him, wearing robes of fine linen, white and pure. We have met this army before in robes of white. Again, back in chapter 7, they are the witnesses, the martyrs, the saints who have come through the struggle, who have gone on ahead. Jesus' other disciples, John's friends and others like them. Now they ride alongside Jesus the King. Those who have suffered like him, those who have died like him, now ride victorious alongside him in the end. Here, at the end and the beginning of all things, John sees the King. There is no battle, just victory, a bold claim by this powerless, exiled seer on the underside of empire. The battle, he declares, was already decided long ago. Here rides the faithful and true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Knowing the end of the story gives us courage to fight the good fight, to keep up the struggle, to run the race here and now. Knowing the end allows us to operate beyond fear. It gives us hope beyond despair, strength to carry on even when all seems lost, when the forces of empire seem like they will stand eternal and the darkness seems ready to overwhelm us. John shows us Christ the King, who was and is to be. He shows us Christ the King, who has come and is coming, the light shining in the darkness. There's this scene at the end of the musical Les Mis. Jean Valjean is dying. The old convict who learned grace from a bishop many years ago. Valjean, who'd spent the rest of his days trying to live a life worthy of that gift. Now, as death approaches, Cosette is by his side. Cosette, the young girl he had rescued and raised as a promise to her poor, unfortunate dying mother Fantine. Marius is there with them. Marius, the young man Cosette loves, whose life Valjean had risked his own to save in the midst of revolution. Jean Valjean is dying. And as he begins to slip away, the veil between this world and the next begins to grow thin. Fantine appears there to escort him from life into life. The bishop is there too. And then all heaven opens up. Eponine, Gavroche, the students, those who died along the barricade, they're all there singing a new song. Do you hear the people sing? Lost in the valley of the night. It is the music of a people who are climbing to the light. For the wretched of the earth, there is a flame that never dies. Even the darkest nights will end, and the sun will rise. Hear the people sing. Say, do you hear the distant drums? It is the future that they bring when tomorrow comes. Amen.